It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study, we saw Paul on Mars Hill. During that time, he preached Jesus Christ. And Paul took every opportunity to preach Jesus. He told these people that they could not worship the true God with stone and gold and silver. They could not make these images and worship the true God. And what he's saying is what John the Apostle says in the New Testament. He says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know, we have some of these people around today. I believe they're carried over from Mars Hill, because we have so many people today who have these little trinkets they keep. They count beads. They have images on their dashboards, hanging on their mirrors in their homes. They bow down to these things, and they think they're worshiping the true God. But the true God is the one you can't see. He is not confined to a piece of stone or a piece of gold or anything like that. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't worship something that you're looking at that you can hold in your hands. You need to worship the true God. And of course, the true God is Jesus Christ. He is the creator. He's the one who created all things. He is the Savior for those people who will trust him as Lord and Savior. Well, we continue now in Acts chapter 18. And once again, Paul's teaching. He doesn't stop. In verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth." Remember now, Athens is where Mars Hill was at, and this is where he was teaching these people the right way. He was teaching them how to go to heaven. And when he left, he went to Corinth. Now, Corinth is it was the capital of Greece at that time, and the seat of the Roman proconsul, in other words, the governor. And you read that in Acts chapter 18, verse 12, we'll see that. Well, Athens was, of course, the center of learning for Greece. Now, Corinth was 46 miles west of Athens. Now, the worship of Aphrodite, and this, once again, when we think of this, the Latin term is Venus and Ashtoreth and so forth and so on. False worship. And it was carried on here with all the Eastern immorality, and it was probably introduced by the Phoenicians. Well, the city of Corinth, and it's important that we understand these things, that the city of Corinth was probably the most wicked city of that day. If I could say this, it was the Hollywood and Las Vegas of the Roman Empire. It was the place where you could go live it up. Sex and drink and all other sensual pleasures were there. In Corinth today, one can see the remains of a great Roman bath. And that is where they went to sober up. In the distance is the temple that was dedicated to Aphrodite, or Venus, in which there were 1,000 so-called Vestal virgins. Well, they were anything but virgins. They were prostitutes. Sex was a religion there. Corinth was one of the most wicked cities of the day. And also there were two tremendous theaters there, and people came from all over the empire to the city of Corinth. Well, Paul came to Corinth on his second missionary journey and again on his third missionary journey. Well, we're going to look at the second missionary journey now as Paul continues. And we see that when Paul arrives in Corinth, he locates someone. In Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3, it says this, "And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius," and this would be Claudius Caesar, "had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode there," or with them, "he abode with them and wrought, for they, for their occupation, they were tent makers." Well, when Paul arrives, he goes to see a husband and a wife, Aquila and Priscilla. And then Paul takes up residence with the couple, according to Acts chapter 18 and verse 3. We read about that. And the reason that Paul stayed with Aquila and Priscilla they were evidently proficient in the same occupation of making tents, in other words, tent making. Now, Aquila is elsewhere mentioned as the friend of Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. And although Aquila was a Jew by birth, it is evident that he became a convert to the Christian faith. He got saved. And that's what it means to be a convert to the Christian faith. Conversion takes place. You no longer have religion. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Aquila had. He had a relationship with the Lord. Well, he also had a relationship with Paul, since they were brothers in Christ. And once again, Paul didn't waste time here. We see in chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." It was every Sabbath, not just one or two, but it was every Sabbath that Paul taught in the synagogue. What was he doing? According to that verse, chapter 18, verse 4, he was reasoning. Paul reasoned. In other words, logical thinking, persuading, convincing Jews and Greeks about his message. And what was his message? It was the gospel. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the one who could save them, the people who heard him. And once again, Paul preaches Jesus Christ is the Messiah. In 18 and verse 5 of Acts, it says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed." In other words, it was urgent. He was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And we need to get urgent today. We need to get busy for the Lord. And that's what it's talking about here. The Spirit of God was so far, was so far on him. It was so strong upon Paul. He was such a person that wanted to serve God that the Spirit pressed him. There was urgency. People would die and go to hell if he did not give them the gospel. Well, once again, Paul was adamant in presenting Jesus Christ as the Savior. But notice now, upon the arrival, we see the arrival of Silas and Timothy, and they joined Paul, and they arrived from Macedonia. And then in Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed," now this is not Timothy and Silas, they were not opposing themselves and blasphemed. It says that Paul, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." What he was saying here, these people that he was preaching to wouldn't listen to him. They blasphemed. In other words, they were cussing. They made fun of him. They made fun of God. And you and I need to realize that when someone makes fun of us as we present Jesus Christ, as we present God, as we present the Word of God, and they make fun of us, or they just laugh at us or whatever. They're not laughing at us and making fun of us. They're making fun of God. They're making fun of the Creator. They're making fun of the Savior of the world. They made fun of Jesus while he walked this earth. And you can be assured that people will make fun of you if you're a Christian and you present Jesus Christ as Savior. Some will make fun of you, maybe not to your face, but behind your back. They will laugh and scorn. But remember, it's up to them to receive Jesus as Savior. You can't force them. You must stay true to the Lord and simply preach and teach the Word of God. Now, Acts chapter 18 and verse 6 that we read tells us that Paul was opposed and blasphemed by the Jews, but no mention is made of the Greeks. Once again, Paul relates to the Jews that he had done all he could do for them. Now, remember, Greeks, that would be the Gentile people. It doesn't say that they made fun of Paul. The Jews were making fun of him. And the Jews had rejected the gospel. And as a result, Paul was released from his responsibility of trying to convince them concerning their destiny. He said, "You are responsible for your own." In other words, your own life, according to Acts chapter 18 and verse 6. Now, you can also read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14 and go along with this, and Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19. Each person is responsible for themselves. In fact, let's read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." In other words, go to someone else. Don't waste time. You've already told the people about Jesus. You've already told that person that you've witnessed to about Jesus Christ, and they keep refusing or they refuse. Then go to someone else. Let someone else hear the gospel so they can make a decision whether or not to receive Jesus as Savior. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Do you witness for the Lord? Do you tell other people about Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes, and this has happened to me in the past, I would witness to someone and, well, I just feel pretty low. I think I failed the Lord. But that's not the case. When we present Jesus Christ as Savior, it's not up to us to save that person. It's up to them to ask Jesus Christ to save them. And this is what Ezekiel's talking about. It says if you warn the person and he turn not from his wickedness, if he doesn't get saved, nor if he keeps on his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. In other words, you've done what you're supposed to do. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven. And once again, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14 teaches us, go to someone else. Tell someone else about Jesus Christ. Well, in Acts chapter 18, let's get back to our text now. In Acts chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And he departed thence," that's Paul, "and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Once again, I remind you that they got saved and then they got baptized. They didn't get baptized to get saved. They got saved to get baptized. And that's a recognition that we have died to the old self and we're living for Jesus Christ now, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised from the dead, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to live for him. Well, Paul, according to Acts chapter 18, 7 and 8, Paul next goes into the house of Justus. Justus was not just any man. He was a certain man, according to what the Word of God says. And we look back in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2, it says, "Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." Once again, nothing is by chance with God. There's a certain man. God has chosen people. He's chosen individuals to do certain things. And God has chosen you, if you've been born again, to do his work. He did not choose you to die and go to hell. He did not choose you to go to heaven. You had to make that choice of where you were going. You chose to go to heaven. So therefore, God has chosen you to go forth and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a saved person, and you need to be telling others how they too can go to heaven. Once again, don't have this attitude that I'm going and it's up to the other person to get saved. It is up to them, but it's up to us. It's up to you to give out the Word of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.